for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Saturday evening, July the 4th, 1987. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the teacher of the evening. He's teaching on the subject the third day, and this teaching is continued Sunday morning with tape two. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened, and mine ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Father, we're a needy people. We come this evening to acknowledge that thou art Lord, and that Jesus is your name, and there's none other before thee or after thee. But thou art the Lord God Almighty, and to thee be glory and praise and honor and dominion, power and authority. Lord, we're a sinful people. We're a needy people. We've transgressed thy law and thy word. Mercy, Lord, mercy. Mercy, Lord, mercy. Mercy, Lord, mercy. Oh, God, have mercy on our nation. Help us, Lord, to be intercessors between the porch and the altar, crying out for the sins of your people. Oh, God, give us intercessors to raise up that will cry night and day behalf of the sins of your people. Mercy, 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 Lord, for we're a sinful people. We're a sinful people, God. Have mercy on us. Have mercy, Lord. Lord, I lift up our nation. I lift up the sins of the nation. I lift up the abominations of the nation. I lift up the curses that are on it because of the abominations that we have committed in the land. Oh, God, have mercy upon us. Help us to repent and turn from our wicked ways, that your mercy will flow forth, and the glory of the Lord shall come forth, and the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And when we'll know that Jesus reigns, because he rules and reigns in the hearts and lives of your people, that we shall stand forth as a light that cannot be hid, shining brightly, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that there is none other, and that in him is healing and deliverance and restoration and salvation, that by the blood of Jesus our sins are washed and forgiven, and we are made white as snow. By the stripes of the cross of the whipping post, there's healing and restoration. And by the bruising and by the agonies of Gethsemane, we have one who intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father this night. Father, we come through Jesus Christ, our high priest, and thank you for accepting us. Thank you for hearing our petitions. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the joy and the glory of the Lord. And thank you for receiving our praise and worship as we lift it up with thankful hearts for all that you've done and given unto us who are oh so unworthy. And we praise you for it, and I praise you for it. And I thank you for our anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost to flow and move Brother Tommy through Brother Tommy as he ministers the word of the Lord to us tonight. As the word of the Lord may flow forth in word and in ministry, that your people will be set free by the word of the Lord. And I thank you for it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's all stand again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. Truly, Lord, again, it's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our pathway. And again, the light gives the entrance of your word gives light. And again, in your light, we shall see light. So, Lord, quicken us by thy Holy Spirit. Minister through us, Lord. Open our hearts to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Father, we thank you for everything we've heard in this camp. We thank you for all the ministries that have come. We bless them, Lord. We bless the people of God. We bless the campgrounds. And, Lord, we thank you for everything we've heard. Everything has been done in your name. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. How many believe that we are in the end of the age? Yes. Amen. And we know that Jesus is going to come. Praise the Lord.
And tonight, we want to share some things that the Lord has put on our hearts. I want to go, first of all, to Genesis 22. Let's turn there tonight. Well, actually, we should go to Luke 13 first. Let's turn there. We'll go to Luke, then we'll go to Genesis. I believe we'll go that way first tonight. And Luke 13, verse 32, I believe it is. We'll start there. There's a lot in this verse. I just want to look at it just a second before we go to the Old Testament. Luke 13, verse 30. We'll start with verse 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said to them, go you and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils. How many believe he's doing it? Amen. And I do cures. That's healing. Today and tomorrow and the third day I shall be perfected.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We know that in 2,000 years since Jesus has died and rose again and went to the Father, we know that demons have been cast out and people have been healed. But how many know that he's going to perfect the people as well?
Amen.
You and me, if we allow him. Isn't that right?
Amen.
The Bible said with a command, be ye perfect.
Amen.
As your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, there's a lot that we could go into that. Another scripture says, be ye merciful as your Father. If you're moving towards perfection or maturity, how many know that you're also being merciful? Because you're reaching out to those that need help. Praise the Lord. And I thank God for the ministries we've had this week, because I believe deliverance reaches out to those that are hurting. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible, well, turn. Let me show it. Turn to 2 Peter 3:8. 2 Peter 3:8 in the Word of God. Let's see what it says here. Then we've got to go to the Old Testament. 2 Peter 3:8, it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. We know we've come about 2 days from Pentecost. That was day before yesterday. And we're reaching towards the third day of perfection. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And Peter said that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Now turn to Psalms 90. Psalms 90 in the Old Testament. Turn over there and look at that. And Psalms 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Now we go to the book of Genesis, chapter, we're starting 21 first. Chapter 21. I want you to follow me tonight, because we're going to go into quite a few scriptures. Genesis 21. And we want to look at first at verse 10 and 11. And it says, wherefore she said to Abraham, this is Sarah speaking to Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Well, how many know Abraham loved Ishmael? But how many know there's an Ishmael in us that God's dealing with, that we got to cast out and deal with?
Yeah,
crucify him. And yet, it's daily, isn't it, brother? He must die daily. Isn't that right? Now, he looks like Father Abraham, but he has an Egyptian heart. Now, in chapter 22, I read that scripture to lead up to chapter 22. Here, in the scripture. In chapter 22... we know that God did something here in verse 1. It says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, the Bible said that God tempts no man, especially with evil. But yet it said God tempted Abraham. I don't know how you look at that, but I believe God withdrew his consciousness of his presence in that situation. And it seemed like possibly God was nowhere in sight to Abraham. How many's ever felt that God was nowhere around? Many times, yes, amen. And so we see this happening here. Now, in the story, we see several things. We see a separation, we see revelation, and we see worship. And one time God said to me, the greater the separation will be the great, will bring the greatest revelation, but he'll demand the greatest worship.
Hallelujah.
To keep us humble and to keep us down. Amen? And so in verse 2, verse 1, God is going to test Abraham, or have him tested here. Verse 2, he said, take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. I want you to notice that. How many know God will test that which is closest to you? That which is the closest to you, whether it be son, daughter, husband, wife, or whatever it may be, God will test it. Praise the Lord. He will test it. He'll put it to the test. And he loved this son of promise. And he said, take that son whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah. To the land of Moriah. Now that was the separation. God said, take him to the land of Moriah. And then the revelation, of course, is in verse 3. He comes to the place that God's going to require him to come to. Now, how many know that God tells you just enough to get you started? God's not going to give you the whole picture, Brother Glenn, or me the whole picture. He's going to give you just enough to start you wherever he has you to go or whatever he has you to do. And so, if it'd be like us going to the mount, into the land of Moriah, into the, one of the mountains, you know, we would take the easiest. Our flesh would. We would take the easiest if we could. Isn't that right? The one that's closest and the one that's not so high, so that we wouldn't have to hurt ourselves, you know, and get all worn up. Amen?
Amen?
But God demands strict obedience from each one of us tonight. Whatever God is telling us to do, we may not be Abraham, but wherever we are and what circumstance we're in, God demands strict obedience from you and I tonight.
Amen.
So it says God tested him in this situation. Now, I said this here many times, but I want to say it again because God impressed me to say it. There are five ways you're tested. You're tested by your successes. You're tested by your failures. You're tested in the furnace of affliction. Again, God withdraws, number 4, our consciousness of his presence, where it seems like he's nowhere around, he doesn't hear you, but yet he's there watching. And number 5, God leaves some of the enemy in your land to see what you and I are going to do about it. And we all have an enemy tonight, isn't that right? One way or another. Praise the Lord. Amen. So God is allowing testing to come to Abraham here. Praise the Lord. Now, look in verse, again, verse 2 is the separation. He's going to the land of Moriah. Verse 3, there's revelation. He's coming to the place, the mountain, that God is going to take him to there to offer up Isaac. And in verse 9, there is worship. There is the altar of worship there in verse 9. Now, if you go back to chapter 12, just a minute with me, of Genesis. We'll go back there just a minute. And because I'm coming to a lot of things here tonight, if I can get to it. In chapter 12, in verse 1 was a separation. Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, to land that I will show thee. What if God would speak that to you and I tonight and say, leave America and never turn, come back to the land of America. And leave your kindred, leave your father's house, and go where I tell you. Well, how many know there are people that have done that? Amen? How many know that's a sacrifice? But that's a separation. Now, verse 2, here is the revelation. And God said, if you'll do that, Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. We want a blessing, but how many know God also wants us to be a blessing? And of course, he was going to be a blessing to the nations, to the world. Then in verse 7, here is worship. Separation, revelation, worship. Verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar. What's an altar for? To worship, as well as other things. Notice, unto the Lord who appeared to him, and he removed from thence to a mountain on the east of Bethel. What's Bethel? House of God. And pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. What does Ai mean? It means a heap of ruins. How many know we can all look back and see a lot of that? Amen. We can all see a lot of heap of ruins behind us. Amen? How many know we're leaving the first Adam, and praise God, we're taking up with the second one. Isn't that right? We're putting off the first and putting on the new. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Paul said, we're not to look behind us any longer. We're to press for what? The mark. The prize of a high calling in Christ. Praise the Lord. And so Ai means a heap of ruins. And there he built it an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Praise God. So we can see that there was a separation, there was a revelation, and now there's worship. In fact, there were seven separations in Abraham's life. Number one, from his country. Number two, from his kindred. Number three, from Egypt. How many know that's the world? Number four, from the wealth of Sodom. Number five, from Lot. Number six, from Ishmael. And then number seven, Isaac. God had to take him, Abraham take him up to offer him up. And he was obedient to his God. Praise the Lord. So we can see there was a lot in here in this chapter. Now let's go to Amos just a minute. I'm going to show you a scripture because we talk about Bethel here. Go to Amos. Chapter 5 in the book of Amos. Amos chapter 5. And let's look at, in chapter 5, look at 5:4 of Amos. Amos 5, verse 4. For thus saith the Lord to the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Turn it around. If you don't seek me, you'll die. Verse 5, that's spiritually, you'll die spiritually, won't you? Verse 5, but seek not Bethel. Seek not Bethel. Verse 4 says, seek ye me. Let's don't seek the house of God, let's seek the God of the house. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. Seek the Lord, verse 6, and you shall live. So we're not seeking just the house of God, we're seeking the God of the house. Praise the Lord. And so back here in Genesis 12, he removed east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And he built the altar. Now look in Genesis 35:7. Genesis 35:7 here. And notice what it says. 35:7 of Genesis. Hallelujah. And it says, and he built there, this is Jacob, an altar. And call the place El Bethel. What does that mean? The God of the house. The God of Bethel. Amen? Because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Praise the Lord. So we're not seeking just the house of God. We're seeking the God of the house. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, let's go back to Genesis 22 just a minute. And you'll notice in verse 4, it says there, praise the Lord, in verse 4, then on the what? On the third day. How many believe that we're approaching the third day? You believe that? Amen. Now, on the first, you can take 7 days of creation and the 7,000 years from Adam all to the millennium, and you can see a great truth. Have you know, on the first day of creation, God divided something. The light from the darkness. He's still doing that, isn't it? All right? On the first day, or 1,000 years of Adam, the 1,000 years of the first day, have you know, Adam had the truth seed within him. And yet God made a separation between, or division between, the true seed and the devil seed. Isn't that right? And you see that in his two sons. There was the righteous Abel and the wicked Cain. So there was a division. Then in the second day of creation, the waters was divided from the waters. And on the 2,000 years, how many know there was a man named Noah who had 8 people in his family, including himself, and there was a division or separation from the wicked there. And God brought a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy the wicked. Isn't that right? And yet the true seed was in Noah and his family. Then the third day of creation, there was the division of the dry land from the water. Hallelujah. How many know God again brought forth Abraham, made a division between Ishmael and Isaac on the 3,000 years. And then the fourth day of creation, God made a division of lights. He made the sun to rule the day. He made the moon and the stars to rule the night. Isn't that right? And on the 4,000 years, God brought the true light. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Into the world. Amen. The Savior of our soul. Praise the Lord. The true seed. And in the fifth day of creation, God brought the waters forth, the whales, the fishes, and so forth, in the oceans. And on the 5,000 years, the church was born at Pentecost. And how many know he's commanded all of us to be fishers of men? And on the sixth day, back in creation, the beast, the beast was made and man was made. And we've come to the 6,000 years from Adam, and we see the beast arising. Isn't that right? And we see the man-child also arising. Let me tell you, the beast always arises before the truth. You see, Nimrod came before Abraham. You see, Esau before Jacob. You see, Ishmael before Isaac. You see, Saul before David. You see, Eli before Samuel. You see, Cain before Abel. You see, Saul before Paul. You see, Babylon before the true church. And you see, the beast before the man-child in Revelation coming forth. Amen? And then on the seventh day, on the sixth day, I said, the beast came forth, and man was made. And in this hour, the beast is coming forth, and the man-child, God's raising the sons of God up, the overcomers. And, of course, we're approaching the seventh day, the day of rest back in creation. God rested the seventh day, and how many know he's bringing the people to that place? In him. But like Jack said the other day, Brother Jack Harris, there's still going to be a lot of cleaning up in that thousand-year time. We won't go on that tonight. Praise the Lord. Now, come back to Genesis 22. We said in verse 4 that on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, that was a natural setting. But how many know Jesus said that where I am, there you can be also, because I go to prepare a place for you. How many know that place tonight, if you read John 14 three times, it tells you where it's at. It's in the Father. That place is in the Father. How many know God the Father is a spirit? He is a consuming fire. He is light, life, and love. And God is taking a people into the Father, praise the Lord, or to the throne, however you want to say it. He's taking a people to that place. And so Abraham, on this third day, lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. Then in verse, verse 4. Then in verse 3, he saw the place, rather than verse 4. Verse 3, he went to the place, and in verse 9, he came to the place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I believe God's taking us to a place, too. In him, if we submit to God. All right, now, look in verse 5. Abraham said to his young men, abide you here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Now, how many know that worship is a long way off for some people? And how many know we need to be patient with those that are like that? Amen? Amen? And yet he said, the lad and I will go yonder to that place and worship. And, of course, we'll come again, which means he was calling things which be not as though they were. Then in verse 6, we see Isaac as a type of Jesus. The offering was laid upon Isaac, and he took the fire and the knife and so forth, and they both went together. And how can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. Praise the Lord. Now, on this third day that we're approaching, God is requiring a people to lay all on the altar of sacrifice. How many believe that? I believe it. I really believe it. Now look in Psalms 50, verse 5. Psalms 50 and verse 5, please. Let's see what God says here. Psalms 50, verse 5. I'm going to speed up here a couple of miles an hour, I guess. Because I got a lot to say. Gather my saints together. That's what we've done this last week. And yet we know to come together, we're not always together as we should. Because usually when something is scattered, that's why things have to be gathered up. Isn't that right? But gather my saints together, a command, unto me, unto him shall the gathering of the people be, those that have made a covenant with me by what? And what was God requiring of Abraham? A sacrifice. When? On the third day. Amen? On the third day. Praise the Lord. Now go back to Genesis 22. Look at verse 12. Let's see what motivated this man. In verse 12, God said to him out of heaven, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him, For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Hallelujah. I believe we all need a greater revelation of God's fear. Reverential fear of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So on this third day, there was worship. Praise the Lord. I said the other day, and I say it every time I come, there's workers in the outer court. There's warriors in the holy place. But in the Holy of Holies, God has worshipers. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now turn with me to Exodus 19. We're going to follow this third day principle for a while. Exodus chapter 19 in God's Word. Hallelujah. I love this word better than any natural food. It's our life, isn't it? Exodus 19, verse 10. And notice what it says. And the Lord said to Moses. Moses' name means to be drawn out. And you see that all through his life. Go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. How many know that for 2,000 years there's been a sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit cleansing and washing God's people for His return? Did you hear that? For 2,000 years. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be living for the coming of the Lord, you and I will be sanctified. We will be holy. Amen. Now look at verse 11. And be ready. A state of being. And be ready. That's preparation. Against what? The third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down. How many believe He's coming down? And I've said this many times here, and I'm going to say it again. I wrote it in my Bible, and I love to say it. Hallelujah. He's coming. Jesus is coming in the saints. He's coming with the saints. Jesus is coming in clouds. He's coming with clouds. Jesus is coming in fire. He's coming with fire. Jesus is coming bodily, personally, visibly, literally, and gloriously. And I know there are those who say He'll never come literally, but I believe they're in error when they teach that. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it blessed me when Brother Pittman said that this morning, when the angel said to him, if you're going, you can't come out until Jesus brings you back. Hallelujah. And I believe He's coming not only in us. He must come in us. We know that's the coming that we all must have too. But yet He's coming out there, isn't He? Praise the Lord. Every eye shall behold Him. Every eye shall see Him, the Scripture says. I believe Jesus will come again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible said here, in verse 11, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. The third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people. Praise the Lord. Now, look in verse 14, and we're going to see that. Again, look at verse 14. And Moses went down from the mount to the people. And what did he do? He sanctified the people. Now Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we were not only to be preserved and blameless, but to be sanctified spirit, soul, and body unto the coming of the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. And without holiness no man shall see the Lord. And the pure in heart shall see God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a people going to sing. I said there's a people going to sing. And so verse 14 is talking about cleansing and sanctification again. And then in verse 15, notice again what he says. He said to the people, be ready. Be ready. How many know that's a command? That's not an option. That is a command to be ready when the Lord comes down. Now we know in Matthew 25, turn there just a minute. There's a scripture. Well, look in 24 first. Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore, be you also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Hallelujah. One time a man said, I'm going to tell you tonight when Jesus is coming. Boy, everybody flocked to the church, and he read that scripture. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Then in chapter 25, verse 10, and while they went to buy, this is the five wise and the five foolish, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were what? Ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So there is a readiness, there is a preparation he requires of you and I. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. All right, so we've got to be ready for that third day. Now, look in verse 16 and 17. Important that you follow this with me. Verse 16 of chapter 19 of Exodus now. Exodus 19. Sorry about that. 19:16. It came to pass. Now look at this. It came to pass on the third day in the morning. Now we are approaching the end of this 2,000 years from Jesus. But thank God we're looking for the morning of the third day. We're talking about the day of the Lord, the coming of Jesus, a lot of things happening. But he says right here in this verse, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was something. Thunders, lightnings, a thick cloud upon the mount, a voice of the trumpet, now notice, exceedingly glad, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. Did you hear that? And they stood at the nether part of the camp. And then, of course, in verse 18, there was smoke and there was a lot of other things happening, quaking and so forth. Now, go to Revelation. Go to Revelation. Now, before we go there, what did we see? We saw thunders. We saw lightnings. We saw a thick cloud, the trumpet, the smoke, the earthquake, and the fire. Now, in Revelation 8, who can tell me what starts in Revelation 8? The trumpet. The trumpets. How many trumpets are blowing in Revelation, brethren? Seven. What's God's what's seven? Perfection, isn't it? God's number. In Revelation 8, verses 1 through about 7, and when it opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven at space of half an hour. Now, I don't know if this is right. I heard a man say one time that would be, in God's time, that would be 42 years. I don't know if that's right. Is it? Okay, I'm wrong. Okay, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given what? Seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given to him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came up with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, cast it to the earth, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared them to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and so forth. So right there in chapter 8, verse 1 through 7, you see the trumpet, there's smoke, there was incense, which is the cloud. There was fire. There's thunderings. There was lightnings. And there's an earthquake. What we saw in chapter 19. Amen. Now go back to Exodus 19. Hallelujah. Chapter 19, verse 19. Now notice when this trumpet is sounding. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and wax louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Everybody see that? Now notice, it said it. This trumpet waxed not only louder, but it was long. Sounded long. What does that mean? That means over a period of years, God is preparing a people for his return. Amen? How many know in Revelation 10:7? Well, I can quote it, but let's go there. Let's go to Revelation 10:7. Notice what it said. But in the... What's the next word? day. That means it's sounding long. Now, I know we all have opinions, and sometimes opinions aren't too good. But my opinion is the seventh trumpet blows throughout the 1,000 years. But you can believe what you want to. I'm not trying to convince you. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. But I want you to notice, it's not blowing 5 minutes, it's blowing many days. Amen. So it is blowing long. Then it says in Exodus 19 that it got louder and louder. And God spoke to me today. Hallelujah. And I'll give that in just a minute. But how many know from blowing of one trumpet to blowing seven trumpets, there's going to be a lot of noise. Now we think, you know, one trumpet's blown, then two, and then three. But after one is blown, the two begins to sound, and right on down till all seven are beginning to blow. Isn't that right? How many know three trumpets are louder than one? Five's louder than three, and seven's louder than five. And so here in the scripture, in Revelation, God's bringing us to a place where all seven are blowing, and they're louder than when they first begin to blow. Like the first one and the second one. He's going to bring us to seven, our perfection. Now, here's what the Lord said to me. As we approach his coming, the trumpets or the messages will become louder and louder in the earth. There'll be a clear sound because I believe God's going to save as many in this end time as he can. And I don't think that anyone will have an excuse when God finishes with this age. Do you? Hallelujah. And how many know that the kingdom message must be proclaimed, brethren, in all the world? And then the end's going to come. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Let's look at a few scriptures on the seventh trumpet. Now, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. I know you know this scripture, but let's turn there and look at it. I want to give you three or four scriptures that may be a little different to you that you might not have seen after one or two here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there in verse 16 or 17, somewhere in there. And there's a message in this chapter that takes hours to teach it here on the coming of the Lord, because there's a lot of things here. But in verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's a victory shout, isn't it? With the voice of the archangel, with the what? Trump of God. Notice, trump of God. Who is God? God is a what? Spirit. So in the spirit, there's going to be a trumpet, a message that we must hear. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that's not just only those in the grave. We know there are people that went to the grave, went on to be of Jesus. But how many know we're to be dead to sin and self, but alive to God, walking here on 2 feet? And that's another message in itself. I won't get into that. Praise the Lord. Go with me to another scripture. Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51. 15:51. It says, Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We saw that word mystery in Revelation 10:7 a while ago. The mystery of God was to be finished. Behold, I will show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we'll not all die. But we shall all be what? Changed. When? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the what trump? What's the last trump? Seventh trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And yet the Bible said every man in his own order. There's an order to resurrection. But whatever order you're in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye, there will be a change. Amen? How many of the Bible teaches two resurrections, basically? All right, now, turn with me to Zephaniah 1. Zephaniah chapter 1 in the Old Testament. Zephaniah, I know you can turn right to it. Chapter 1, verse 14. How many know when we're talking about the coming of the Lord, we're dealing with the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord, verse 14, chapter 1. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, hasteth greatly even. The voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. You believe there's going to be some weeping when Jesus comes? Job says the mighty shall be taken away at midnight. And here it says the mighty man shall cry bitterly. Verse 15, that day is a day of wrath, trouble, distress, wasteness, desolation, darkness, gloominess, day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of what? The trumpet and the alarm, that's war, against the fence cities and against the high towers. I may believe he's bringing some high towers down. And that's not just buildings, that can be men and women. And how many know unless we repent, we can be brought down. We should pray for those that fall. We should pray for those that come down. And God help us not to fall. God help us to stay humble before God. Amen. And God said, I'll bring distress upon all men, that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. That's the day of the Lord. That's the trumpet. That's the last trumpet. Now, we want to look at another scripture that may not be familiar with some of you. Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And we want to look at verse 28. I believe it is. Matthew 24. 28. I don't know how many times I've read this chapter. I'll tell you, it's a great chapter, isn't it? Well, we'll start with verse 29. Jesus said, immediately after the trouble. How many know tribulation is trouble? The affliction, or the great, or tribulation the great, whatever you want to call it. Of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign. You know, back up in verse 3, they asked Jesus what would be the sign of his coming. And now he's beginning to answer them. He had told them the signs, plural, but now singular. He said the sign immediately after the tribulation, when the heavenly bodies are affected in verse 30. Then he said, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. I believe there's a message in that itself. Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send somebody, his messengers, his angels, with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his chosen or his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the earth. Mark said it's heaven and earth, praise the Lord, Mark 13. So God is sending his angels, his messengers. How many believe the messengers are beginning to sound the trumpet? Hallelujah. You know, angels are not only those angels like Brother Pittman talked today. You know, how many know that the man who gave John the revelation in the book of Revelation was a prophet? Did you know that? Let's turn and look at it. Revelation 22. I don't want to say something, not back it up. Revelation 22, verse 8. I, John, saw these things and heard them. What did he see and hear? The revelation of Jesus Christ. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the what? Angel which showed me these things. Then said he to me, to John, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, who? The prophets. And of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. How many know no angel will take worship? No man, if he really knows Jesus, will take worship. It's only due unto our Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, then there, Isaiah 26. Let's look at this trumpet there. The last scripture I'll give you. There's some more, but I'll give you this one more. Isaiah 26. And look at verse 13, I believe it is. I think it's that. No, it's 27. 13. 27, 13. And it shall come to pass in that day. Notice, that day. That the great trumpet. The great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Now, if you got a marginal reference in your Bible, many Bibles give two references, Revelation 11:15 and Matthew 24, the one I gave you, what, in verse 30 or 31, somewhere there. Yes, 31. Praise the Lord. So the trumpet is beginning to sound. All right, go back to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Verse 18. Notice the scripture. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke Because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And Brother Pittman said, the fire's coming. How many believe the fire's coming? And it's going to take a blowtorch for some of us, isn't it? And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Notice, the Lord descended in fire. Let's see that from the scripture. Turn to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse 15 and 16. Isaiah 66, verse 15 and 16. Notice what it says. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire, now that's the Holy Ghost, and by sword, that's his word, will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be what? Many. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 7 and 8, I think it is. Hallelujah. Yes, verse 7 and 8. And to you who are troubled. Anybody been in trouble lately? In affliction, in tribulation? To you that are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. How's he coming? In flaming fire. Now, Isaiah 66 says he comes with fire. But here it says he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus will come with fire and he'll come in fire. Now go back to our scripture in Exodus 19, verse 20 and 21. Exodus 19, 20 and 21. And it says there in Exodus 19, and find it. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And what did the Lord do? He called Moses. How many know Moses is a type of the overcomer? He called Moses to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down. Come up and go down. I can say a lot on that, but I don't think I will right now. Moses is a type of the overcomers. Praise the Lord, first fruits. But there's a lot we could say there. All right, so God said in his word that the Lord is coming down, and he called Moses to the top. How many believe he wants to take us higher? Amen. Now go to Esther chapter 4. How long have I been going, Brother Miller? Esther 4. How long?
45.
Okay. I'm not going to hold you late, but I got a lot to say tonight, but I would never finish it tonight, but that's all right. Let's go to Esther chapter 4. Now, Mordecai, if you've never read the story, there's a story here about Mordecai and Esther, and how many know they were kinfolk? And Mordecai appealed to Esther to intervene before the king on behalf of her people. Now, Mordecai in chapter 3, I want you to look there in chapter 3 a minute. I want to show you something. In verse 13, it said, letters were sent by the post to all the king's provinces to destroy or to kill and to cause to perish all Jews. How many know there's a spirit in the land against the Jews? Do you know that? It's still in the land. Not only natural Jews, but spiritual Jews. And it says here, to cause them to perish, all Jews, both young and old, and little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month. Now, 13, if you don't know, I can't go in tonight, but 13 is the number of rebellion. It's a number of rebellion. And so, here was a plan to kill the Jews. And Mordecai knew it. He we would say today, he got a revelation of it, but he knew that Satan was going to try to kill the Jewish people. And Mordecai in chapter 4 put on sackcloth. How many know in Revelation 11, there are two witnesses with sackcloth? That means you're in a flesh and blood body. But it speaks of intercession, prayer, and fasting, doesn't it? And so Mordecai begins to rend his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes. You know, When you do that, not everybody understands you. And I'm not telling you to go out and just put natural ashes on you. But you, what I'm saying is, when you live a life of fasting and prayer, many people don't understand you. Isn't that right? And so Esther got wind of it, and she told him, go change those clothes. If God's called you to prayer and to be an intercessor and to fast and pray, do it. Amen. Under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, but Mordecai and her conversed back and forth, and finally get the message over to her. Now look, look in chapter 4, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. She was a Jew too, you know. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then thou shalt then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be what?
Destroyed.
How many know the devil would like to kill everybody today if he could? And God will shorten the days of tribulation. The Bible said no flesh would be saved, which means Satan would be let loose and kill and destroy everybody. But I believe God in his mercy will rise up in the chosen, the elect of God, and will stop that final destruction. I believe there's going to be destruction. But he'd like to kill everybody, and God's not going to let that happen. There's going to be a lot of people die. We know that. But here it says, thou knowest whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Well, how many know God's bringing us to his kingdom and bringing the kingdom in us too? Then Esther bade them to return Mordecai the answer. Now look at verse 16. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days. Boy, if we do that without any water or anything, we'd almost faint and give up, wouldn't we? Some wouldn't. Night or day, I also, my maidens, will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, come on, I perish. Now, there was a law that no one could go into the see the king without being invited. And we know that was true. Now, look in chapter 5, verse 1, 2, and 3 now. Now it came to pass on what? We saw the third day in Genesis 22. We saw the third day in Exodus 19 and Luke 13. And we're seeing here that on the third day, Esther put on her royal apparel. Hallelujah. How many know he's got some royal apparel? Oh, there's a message in that. And stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Praise the Lord. Now notice, this happened on the third day. She put on the royal apparel. She came into the king's house. She was seen by the king. She obtained favor in his sight. And he extended to her the golden scepter. And she touched the top of the scepter. How many know this has been given to us, imputed righteousness? Amen? Hallelujah. And yet there is righteousness being fulfilled in you and I. There's a message that I could go into about righteousness here. But look in Luke 5 just a minute with me, with those scriptures in mind. Luke 5. Luke 5. And look at verse 34 and 35. Listen to what Jesus said. Can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away. I mean, that's Jesus. From them. And then shall they fast in those days. Amen? Hallelujah. Then shall they fast in those days. Now Esther and the Jews fasted in preparation for her entrance into the presence of the king on the third day. How many know that God's going to require some of that in this hour? Amen? We can show you that in the book of Acts and Joel and other scriptures. But he extended what to her? The scepter. Look in Hebrews 1. God's doing the same to us. Hebrews 1:8. Hebrews 1:8. But unto the Son, he saith. But unto the Son, he saith. How many know he's the Son of sons? He's the overcomer of all overcomers. He's the top. He's the head. We're to grow up into the head, but we'll never be the head. We need his mind, his will, his emotions, but he'll always be head. Can you say amen? But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. What is it? A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And just as the king extended the scepter to her and she reached out and touched it by faith, God is extending his throne to us. Look in Revelation 12:5. Hallelujah. Revelation 12:5. And she brought forth a man-child. The woman is the church. Who was to rule or shepherd all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up. Caught up where? Unto God. God is a spirit. Caught up to God and to his throne. And we know John in chapter 4 of Revelation, as well as chapter 1, was caught up to that throne. He said, I was in the, Brother Miller, I was in the spirit, on the Lord's day. He was not only an apostle, but he was, I call him a 20th century prophet. He was projected into the 20th century to the day of the Lord. Again, that's not Saturday or Sunday. But how many know that starts with the coming of Jesus, the day of the Lord. And it's a 1,000-year reign. Amen? Hallelujah. And so here it says there's a people who will take the throne. And you know, one day as I woke up, the Spirit was saying something to me. Look in verse 4. About this child. I'll read it. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to what? The earth, that's the carnal realm. And the dragon stood before the church, the woman, which was ready to be what? Did you hear that? Ready to be delivered. For to devour, we know Satan's the devourer, her child, and here's what God said, as soon as it was born. How many know Brother Harris talked about those that are born again? But how many know that's a process? Past, present, future. God gave me a lot of things this week on that as Brother Harris was speaking on that. I really enjoyed what he said about it. But the Lord spoke those words as soon as, to me one time, as soon as it was born. And this will be God's full-grown son, the overcomers, coming forth in the image of the Son. Hallelujah. And you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And caught up to the throne. Now, I want to show you this. Look down in verse. And you know, when this child goes to the throne, two things happen. The woman goes into the wilderness in verse 6. She's going to be tested. 3.5 years. And verse 7, there was what? War. Where? In heaven. She goes to the wilderness, the woman. And there was war in heaven. But come on down to verse 10. When Satan is finally cast totally to the earth, in verse 10 it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come something. Salvation. Salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. How many know that's the body of Christ as well? Well, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, that which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Love not their lives unto the death. Praise the Lord. Now has come salvation. That is full salvation. There is a people going to enter full salvation. Spirit, soul, and body. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Turn to Psalms 45. Give me 10 minutes. All right, good. Psalms 45. Preachers like to preach, singers like to sing. But you got to have both, don't you? Psalms 45, and I thank God for the Brother Bill and Sister Linda and the others, and Sister Nina,
and the others that sang this week. Didn't you? Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a good hand for him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In Psalms 45, verse 9, it says, King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. And then in verse 11, so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, worship thou him. Verse 13, the king's daughter is all glorious. Notice where? Within. That's her covering. That's, she has his nature. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought to the king in raiment of needlework. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. There is a minister rising that will stick you. Hallelujah. Amen. And how many know the women that work with the needling thread, they use their fingers, they use their hand. And there's a hand ministers of apostles and prophets and teachers and shepherds and evangelists God's using. Isn't that right? To perfect the church. Amen. She shall be brought to the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, also shall be brought unto thee. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's finish. Let's just finish with this. I never get in the rest of that. I've got so much. Go to St. John chapter 2. I think we'll just go ahead and finish here and minister to some. Hallelujah. But God's bringing us to that third day, isn't he? Hallelujah. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Now, first of all, look in chapter 1. We're going to come to chapter 2. Now, in verse 29, John begins to proclaim the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. How many know God's raising of a John the Baptist minister in this hour? And where was John till the days of his showing? He was in the wilderness. And he came right before Jesus. And God's raising up a people to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus again. Then notice, now that was on one day. Now look in chapter 1, verse 35. Notice what it says. Again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, day one, John preached the Lamb of God. Day two, John preached the Lamb of God. And there were those that began to follow Jesus. Now, for 2,000 years, how many know Jesus has been proclaimed as the Lamb of God? And that the disciples are to follow the Lamb. Isn't that right? Now turn to chapter 2, verse 1. We come to what? The third day. I know those are natural days, but I'm looking in the Spirit as well. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Well, we know what Jesus did. He turned the water into wine. Praise the Lord. Yes, he did. Now, the water and the wine. How many know God wants you to have the water and the wine? What is the water? It's the Word. Ephesians 5:26. It's the washing of the water of the Word. And the Spirit speaks of, I mean, the wine speaks of the Spirit. It speaks of the blood, of course. It speaks of the joy, come on, of the Lord. Isn't that right? Has many meanings. How many know in Acts 2, he had those wine skins there in the upper room? And when Pentecost came, he filled them with new wine. New wine. Now in chapter 2, verse 11, let's look here just a minute, a few scriptures here in this chapter. Notice what it says. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and did something. He manifested forth his glory. Now the Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 1:10 that when he comes, he'll come to be glorified in his saints. That's in you and me. Hebrews 2:10 said he's bringing many sons to glory. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So here it says he manifested his glory. And how many water pots were there? Huh? Six water pots. What's the number six? Number man. It speaks of six water pots that were filled with water and then changed to wine. Praise the Lord. Now, those earthen those water pots speaks of earthen vessels. How many know Paul said we have this treasure where? In earthen vessels, in you and in me. Praise the Lord. Now, look in verse 9 and 10. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, every man at the what? If there's a beginning, there's something else. What is it? There's an ending. What am I saying? He saved the best wine to the last, didn't he? Hallelujah. How many believe he's done that? Amen. Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Praise God. And I believe he's kept the good wine for the last. Because he said, this house, the glory of this latter house, shall be greater than the former. I mean, it's going to take a lot of glory to come in this hour to take us through things that we're facing. Hallelujah. I believe that. Praise God. Now, oh, I believe I better cut it off there. I got so much more. Hallelujah. I thank God that the third day is upon us. Praise you, Jesus. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight that there is an army that Brother Pittman talked about this morning that's arising. Lord, there is a people. There is a people, Lord, that's arising in your image and in your likeness. Lord God, I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit us, Lord, each one of us, to submit to the authority of the Holy Spirit, that we might, God, be those earthen vessels that we just read about. And the Lord will be in that great marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. There will be in that great bride, that great people, Lord God, with our Lord. Lord, tonight, help each one of us to submit to Thee totally. Lord, without reservation. God, if there be anything standing in our way tonight, help us, Lord, to remove it, to repent and turn from it, Lord, that we might be that people that will stand in that day in that company of overcomers. Oh, hallelujah, around the great throne of God. We thank you today, Lord, that Jesus came, bled and died for us. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy to us. God, I thank you for that. Amen. Let's praise him just a minute. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Blessed be thy name. Blessed be thy name. Handarabo kotarabasi davahaya. Handarabo kotarabasi tabakandarabosi tabakai. Is that on? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Handarabo kotarabasandabakaya. My son, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And know that the Lord has directed thy footsteps. And know that he shall lead thee in this hour. And truly thou shalt march under the drumbeat of the Holy Spirit. For thy heart, yea, is in love with the Lord. And Lord, the Lord does behold thee, my son. The Lord does watch over thee. And the Lord shall direct thee, my son. For surely the Lord shall open thine eyes. The Lord shall give you a vision. And thou shalt behold things new, saith the Lord. Fresh things and good things from his table, saith the Lord. For surely I've seen thy heart. And thy heart has been open. Thy heart has been wide open for the things of me, saith the Lord. And I shall not disappoint thee. I shall appoint unto thee those precious things. For I put my treasure within thee. I have hidden things within thee, my son, that in this hour, yea, they shall come out, and they shall come forth, and they shall truly bless my people. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thou hast been one that was steady. Thou hast been one that would seek even natural things. But the Lord said, I'm going to bring thee up into the Spirit. And thou art going to seek spiritual things. And thou art going to see spiritual things. For yea, the Lord God does give thee sharp hearing. The Lord has opened thy hearing this night. And the Lord says, there is a word behind you. Walk you in it, saith the Lord. For surely your eyes shall be open. Your ears shall be open, and there shall be understanding as well, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise our God tonight. Let's praise our God. We praise our God. We praise our God tonight. We praise our God tonight. We love you, Lord, tonight. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the hand of the Lord is upon thee, my daughter. And know that the past is behind thee. And yea, I have said, as you heard this night, that thou art to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. For surely the Lord shall cut away, but the Lord shall heal. The Lord God shall cause you to inherit that which is promised unto thee. For he is thy maker, he is thy master, he is thy shield, he is thy buckler. Yea, run to him in the hour of storm. I say, run, for he is thy refuge, and thou shalt be secured, and thou shall be protected by his hand, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, we love you tonight, Lord. We love you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord has seen the heartaches. The Lord has seen the tears. The Lord has seen the trouble, but know that I will be with thee. I have said in my word, and I will cause you to be a triumphant one. I will cause you to have joy in the midst of those things. Not only have come, but shall come. And thou shalt, yea, move over those things that have stood in thy way. For the Lord does bring joy. The Lord does bring the new wine. Yea, his peace is at thy side and within thee. For I have said in my word, thou art to pursue and ensue and press in after my peace. For yea, I am thy peace, and I give you peace that will pass all understanding, whether it be in your heart or be in your mind. It shall keep thee, my daughter. It shall keep thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Rabakata Rabosida Bahanda Wokota Bahaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord has seen the struggle. The Lord has seen the heartaches, but he has heard thy cry, he has heard thy petition, and yea, he will give you the desires of your heart. For I've said, whatsoever things you desire, believe when you pray, and you shall have them. So the Lord says, ask me those desires, I will hear, and I will answer thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thou art a burning and a shining lamp, saith the Lord. Yea, my fire and my power is within thee. For thou hast seen things many have not seen. And thou hast walked in places that many have not walked. And thou hast rejoiced and thou hast been glad because of the goodness of God. And as my goodness passed by Moses, it shall pass by thee, my daughter. And thou shalt behold his back parts. Thou shalt behold him and not another. For truly, I bring thee up higher. I bring thee up higher in me. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faint not, for the Lord has heard thy cry. The Lord has heard thy petition. Yea, faint not, cave not in, saith the Lord, but believe that which I've spoken. For if you'll believe it, then you'll see a performance of it. Yea, believe, saith the Lord, for I've said it, I've spoken it, and I'll bring it to pass, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Let's everybody give the Lord a good fat thing. We love you, Lord. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, again, we thank you for everything we've heard and seen in this camp so far. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Two things in closing. I have two requests. I have a friend in the Tulsa area, Sister Birmingham. Sister Birmingham had three oil wells, and they've all went dry. And she has blessed the ministries. And she is a mighty intercessor. And I believe the enemy is really coming at her to try to destroy her financially. And she asked special prayer. And then another friend of mine who's an elder in a fellowship in Oklahoma asked us to pray for their church. I want us to bring these two requests before God right now. And then I have one other thing I want to say. Let's all pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Sister Birmingham tonight. We bind the powers of darkness, Lord, that would rob her of her finances. God, and we pray for this local fellowship that you would move mightily, Lord, in that church and in those people. Dear Heavenly Father, let a move of God and a revival break forth in that church, Lord. We bless that church. We bless our sister. We pray you reverse the situation, God, in the mighty name, in the holy name, in the glorious name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen. One other thing. July 17th, 18th, and 19th, we're going to have a meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the Woodland Hills Mall. It's the biggest mall in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it's going to be in the library, which is north of Dillard's Department Store. If any of you can come, 17th, 18th, and 19th of July. Brother and Sister Miller are coming the 17th to minister deliverance to that area. I believe Tulsa needs some deliverance. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.